We met today.
Okay. What a friend. How about okay. friend? Just keep it a friend.
Okay.
Will you do that?
Loose interpretation. All right. Hi, I'm Mark from Casting Crowns, and I have a friend, and we're close. I mean, like, hey, this is Mark from Casting Crowns, and I want to introduce you guys to this guy who really thinks he's pretty funny.
Wait, cut. Thanks. I am funny.
You do think you're funny, though.
But I am, aren't I?
Just because your mom says you're funny.
Oh, come on now. Come on, please.
She loves you.
I'm funny looking, okay?
She told you were good looking, too, didn't she?
Well,
put it together, man. Put the pieces together. Is this still on? I'm sorry.
Try it again. Okay.
Hey, this is Mark from Casting Crowns, and seriously, I want to introduce to you guys a good friend of mine. We've done a lot of stuff together. He loves the Lord, and he's pretty funny, too. Say hello to Scott Davis.
Good morning. This is a little different arrangement of an old song that we did on a brand new music recording. This is my new version of Jesus Saves. And you'll see in the video in just a moment, a good friend of mine, a lady named Babbie Mason, who's a great songwriter, singer. She's singing with me.
We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the battle strife. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death an endless life. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the mountains, cross the way. Onward tis thy Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. Praise the Lord.
Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free. Highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves.
Hallelujah, Jesus saves. Oh, I know he does. Hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh,
shout salvation full and free. Highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Well, that's a little different, isn't it? You know, my wife and I love coming up here. We came 2 years ago, and this reminds me so much of the church I grew up in. And this is like family. We've been looking for the past 2 years to coming back to being with you guys. And we flew into Boston on Friday. Last time we flew into Burlington, but this time we flew into Boston because it was so much less expensive, and drove up. And I remember last time driving up and, you know, coming into town and how beautiful it was. And now y'all have these new beautiful fields that go on for days and days and days with those beautiful glistening crops of these solar panels, you know. I didn't know that was your new crop in town. I'm looking forward to maybe coming back in the summer and see how they bloom. But we always enjoy Pastor Tim, his wife Sandy Joe, and we spent the day yesterday just around town. As a matter of fact, I got a picture up here, right there. And we just enjoyed the day and all the syrup and stuff that y'all have here. It was great. So anyway, we just, this is like a home church to us. And so thank you. We feel so comfortable here. And most people know me through my comedy. But I started out as a singer, and I went to Liberty University on music scholarship as I pour that bottle of water all over me. And traveled the world doing music. And at our regular Thursday, Friday, Saturday night events that are ticketed that the pastor was talking about in different churches and auditoriums around the country, I always would do a comedy show, and at the end I would do just one song. And so I went into the studio not too long ago to record that one song, and I thought, man, if I'm spending this much money, I might as well do a few more. I ended up doing 11 songs. And you know how when you buy a CD or a record or what, and they do have LPs back out now. I don't know if you've noticed that, but that's the new thing. They got the old vinyl back out. But when you buy a record, that's usually a kind of a sound to it. It's either all kind of country or all kind of rock and roll, all kind of classical. Well, this CD is all over the map. I did a Southern Gospel song. I did Jesus. I did 5 hymns that I love. And it should have been called 11 Songs Scott Wanted to Sing, because that's what it is. And I did a couple of contemporary songs, some ballads, some brand new songs, some old hymns. And I thought I would sing some of the old hymns for you this morning, because I love old hymns with a different arrangement. Now, there's a guy in our church named Matt Duran. His brother is Cliff Duran, who lives in Nashville, and he's won Dove Awards and for big arranging and stuff with his brothers in my church. And I said, would you help me arrange these hymns? Because I know nothing about music. I just try to sing. I don't even know how to read music. And so I just try to do my best at it. But he went in, and I gave him the list of songs I wanted to do, and he arranged them. And this is one of my favorites. This is actually not too old, I guess, because Bill Gaither wrote it. And I asked some friends along the way, would you sing with me? Babby Mason, you saw in the video, that was Babby Mason. And the girl with her was Megan Garrett, who's the piano player and singer for the group Casting Crowns. That was them both singing in the background. And this one, I asked Mark Lowry if he would sing with me on it. And so he sang with him on this song. But this is one of my favorites because, you know what? There's nothing more important than Jesus. And there's power in his name. And so this is an old one I'm sure you know that Bill Gaither wrote, so go ahead.
Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, oh Jesus, Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
something about Jesus, 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 oh Jesus, Jesus.
You know, I was thinking, when I was trying to think how to set these songs up, and you know, when we think of the word hope, a lot of times that's kind of an unsure word, you know. I hope it doesn't get below zero. I hope it warms up. I hope I have enough money for the rest of the month. I hope my son and daughter are okay. Well, you know, a lot of uncertainty, you know. Some of you teenagers, I hope that I'll remember everything I studied for this test. I mean, it's sometimes a little uncertainty. But I looked up the old archaic biblical definition of hope is assurance. And you can have assurance in the hope of the salvation of Christ. That is a definite thing. When you put your faith in Christ, that's a definite thing. And so that's kind of what I thought about when I thought of this old hymn, Blessed Assurance. So you know this one. We'll have the words up here too, and you can sing it with me, but go ahead.
Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
I'm thankful for the blessed hope in Jesus.
Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love.
Sing it out now.
This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising
sing my Savior all the day long. This is my song.
Man, give yourself a hand on that one. Y'all did great. There's another song that I grew up in church listening to, and I love all kind of music. Don't get me wrong. I like contemporary songs. I like all kind of songs. I heard if you take rap and country and put it together, it's crap. But anyway, no, I'm sorry. That's I don't know where that came from. But anyway, but I like all kind of songs, but especially if they uplift Jesus and talk about Jesus. That's the main thing. And this is an old one that I love, and the part in the middle when you hear the violin player, I don't know if you're familiar with the group Casting Crowns, but there's the girl that plays the violin is a good friend, and she came in and played that for us, and I just thought in singing with us on it, so I think you'll know this one. When he arranged this, I don't know why. I was telling John, an old Forrest Gump movie, I picture that feather falling down. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day.
And the things of earth will grow strangely dim. And grace, amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
You know, as I was singing that, I was thinking of my mother. October 21st, 2001 is when she went to be with Jesus. And my wife and I stayed with her the last couple of weeks, and I would check on her and at night and in the morning. And she's laid in bed just to see if her chest was going up and down, you know, to make sure she was still there. And one morning I went in, and it wasn't moving anymore. Her eyes were open, all the color out, kind of purple lips. I held her hand. She was cold. But at that moment, is you know, when that transition happened, is when the things of this earth dimmed out, and she was in the glory, the presence of God. Isn't that an awesome thing? And we're all headed that way. A friend of mine wrote a song, recorded a song that said, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. You know, everybody wants to go to heaven. I think it's that transition part that we're all unsure about. But I'm thankful that, you know, in this life, if we keep our eyes on Jesus, keep him number one, that's the thing. Even in the little decisions we make, I've been reading devotions, my wife and I, about making decisions and how the little thing, just one little thing each day. God, what do you want me to do? And those little decisions add up to great consequences when you do it the way God wants us to do it. I did this song last time I was here, but I found I remember telling you about it. George Beverly Shea, the soloist for Billy Graham, died when he was 104. He did a new record with Toby Mac and Michael Tate and these guys when he was 102. But George Beverly Shea was a great singer and soloist, and he wrote the music to this song. I thought he wrote the whole thing, but actually he found some lyrics and he wrote the music. And I found the original Crusade, I don't know what year it was, it's black and white, where he introduced this song for the first time. Check it out.
Yes, I have a dear mother, about 84 years of age, who will be watching this program over in Syracuse, New York, and it was many years ago she found this poem written by Mrs. Rhea F. Miller, and she found it at a particular time of my life when we were going through some temptations and spiritual need. And she put this poem on the piano, and as I read it, I had to sing it. And this simple melody came to mind that morning. It's my testimony tonight.
Oh, be held in sin's dread. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
You know, I'm sure y'all are looking at me this morning, and you saw that picture back there on that big picture of me on that big display, and that picture up there. So there's a little disconnect between that and this. You look thinner there than here. Let me explain what happened. First of all, my wife is a nurse. I met her in church. We just celebrated our 19th wedding anniversary in December last month. And this is my first concert. The last concert I did for the year last year was December 20th, and this is my first one back. And now we're every week until the end of April going somewhere, and we have 10 events next month. So pray for us. But we've been married 19 years, and I told her she got a trophy husband. And I told her that. She said, what, did I come in ninth place? Anyway. But we've been married 19 years, known each other for 20. I met her in church. That's a great place to meet people. You know, that's a lot better than a bar or a pub somewhere. And there's still, you can still meet bad people in church, but it's better, you know, here than there. And I was single. Of course, she walked in one night, and of course, she was single. And I thought, you know, I saw her. I was like, wow, hello, you know, and somebody said, she's a nurse, and I just fell on the floor and said, mouth to mouth. No. Anyway, but we've been married now 19 years. This is our 20th year going into, and it's wonderful. It's different. I mean, I thought I knew everything about women until I got married. I know nothing about women. I didn't know toilet paper had a certain way to roll, but just last year I figured out it went on a stick, But I, the last time I was here, you know, I think Pastor even asked, why are you limping? And I had a lot of pain in this left side, and I went to the doctor, and he did x-rays and said, yes, we can fix that pain for you. And I said, great, what do I got to do? And he said, you need a new hip. I said, what? A new hip? I thought that was for people like 100 years old. And apparently, it's not. I mean, there was a lady in the hospital with me, 38 years of age, getting a new hip. I guess technology has progressed enough where they used to not do it for younger people because they would wear out in 10 years and you'd have to get another one. But now they last 30, 40 years and he was telling me all about it and I said, oh, I'll be long dead by then. And he was explaining the procedure. Now, understand, listen, I have never been in the hospital for anything in my life ever, much less a surgery. Of course, the doctor was showing me all about it. You know, he brought in his office and he showed me the hip, what it looks like. It's got looks like a big old spike that you put to the ground, you know, a big old trailer hitch on the end is what it looked like, big ball. And he said, we cut your femur off, you know, take that and throw it away and shove that down in there, and, you know, and explaining it all to me. And I was thinking, of course, when he was talking about throwing away the old bone, I was thinking, can I have that old bone? Because I was thinking, soup. What? Too much? You were right, honey. She said, no, don't say that in church. That's not across the line. Anyway, so I went in the night before because, you know, I was a little apprehensive because they put you to sleep. And I've always heard the most dangerous part of any surgery is the anesthesia. And I was telling my wife, who's a nurse, the night before, honey, what if I don't wake up? She said, you won't need a hip. I was like, great. I'll be stuck with the bill. That's what she said. But got a new hip, and it's great. I mean, I love it. It's wonderful. I mean, I'm glad they can put parts. I'm going to try to get as many parts as I can as we go along in this journey. But during that recovery time, any of you have had hips or knees or shoulders or whatever, you know, there's a recovery time. And I go to a great church in Atlanta. It's very important to be plugged into your church. We have a great life group, Sunday school, whatever you want to call it. And that's, you know, we've got some great people in there. And they came to us and said, we want to bring you meals. And I said, oh, no, no, you don't have to worry about that. She goes, oh, Donna will not want to have to cook. She'll want to be taking care of you and serving you and doting on you. That lasted about 30 minutes. But she called it physical therapy. Get up and get it yourself. It's good for you. But they brought us meals, and they asked me, do you have any food restrictions? And I just blurted, no. And they started bringing meals every day and home cooking and, you know, desserts. And I didn't want to rob anybody of a blessing. And so I ate it all, which put me on this slope that kind of is going downhill. And I put on a little bit of my weight from that because I have a book back there. If my body's a temple, then I was a mega church. That's the name of my book. Because I was 309 pounds. I've never gotten that big again, but I was 309 pounds, lost 132 pounds. But it's a journey. Listen, I struggle with it. Everybody in this room struggles with something. We all have some type of addiction, something that we struggle with. Mine happens to be donuts, you know, okay? Yours might be something else. That's the reason we need God and we need each other. To help us. And that's the reason the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. In other words, don't, we need to meet together. That's what church is all about. You go down the bar and the pub down the street, you'll leave just as empty as when you went in. You're more likely to find Jesus here than there. And we need each other to help us through with all of our issues. And it's good to let people know what we're going through so they can be there to help and be accountable. And that's an important thing. So that maybe will give a little explanation why there's a discrepancy between that photo and this right here. So it is a journey, and I'm working on it. Now, I don't know if any of you men are like me, but have you ever, my wife comes to me sometimes with a problem that I have the solution to, and I'm thinking, you know, it's not rocket science here. You have a thing that I can fix. Let me fix it for you. And she's like, I don't want you to fix it. I want you to listen. I want you to relate. I want you to understand. I don't even know what those words mean. I found a little video that makes this point much better than I, so check it out.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me. And I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless. And I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen. No,
see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... sometimes it's like... there's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
That sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Come on, ow. If you would just...
don't!
Try to see things my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on?
Anybody relate to that one? I think they hit the nail on the head. You know, I have the privilege of, as Pastor mentioned, to do presentations all over the country, all over the world, really, and I'm thankful for that. I mean, God's blessed, and I appreciate you guys. So I don't get to sing much like I used to, and I asked Pastor, is it okay if I do some of my new songs? I hardly ever, that's the reason I had the words up here, because I don't even have them all memorized yet, so thank you for allowing me to do that. This is like family. I tell you, I enjoy your pastor's wife and the folks here. Y'all are just we look forward. I hope this can be an ongoing thing every few years to come back and hang out and see your solar panels grow, and it'll be a wonderful thing. But everywhere I go, no matter what I do, even if it's a comedy show, I do it for a reason, because I figure if you can get people to laugh, you can get them to listen. And I always close every event, whether it's a church or a civic center or a community thing or a moose lodge, wherever, I always share from the Bible, because I believe the Bible. I believe it's true. I believe it's literal. I believe every word of it. I believe it from Genesis all the way to the maps. I believe it, all right? And John chapter 10, verse 10 says, the thief, which is the devil, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I've come to give you life. Give it more abundant. Isn't that awesome? We can have life through Jesus. And this life, I tell you, we have ups and downs. I was listening to a podcast of a friend of mine the other day and said, you know what? We have some rough landings, but we're all still here. You know, we haven't crashed yet. I might be well, you might be sick, but we're still here. We're still alive, and God still uses us. We haven't. One day we'll crash. It will cross over. But we're all still here, and that's a neat thing. And God can give us that abundant life. Now, I grew up in church. I was church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night visitation, Monday night visitation, sang in the youth choir, the adult choir, went to all the pizza blasts, hot dog roasts, lock-ins, retreats, camps. I was even baptized twice. That's about as good as you can get. But I was going through what I call churchianity, which is a religion, instead of Christianity, which is a relationship with Jesus. And Billy Graham said this years ago, and I believe it. That's his thought. But he said he believes as many as 65% of people who fill our churches each week do not have a relationship with Christ. And you know, going to church won't save you. Being good won't save you. You go to the average home in this town, knock on the door, and ask them, if you died, do you think you'd go to heaven? Most people say yes. You know what the number one answer is? Why do you know you're going to heaven? Why are you sure? The number one answer, well, I'm a good person. Try to live right, follow the golden rule. But the Bible also says, and I love the Bible, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a free gift from God. That's the reason Jesus said in John 14, and this is a quote by Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no person, no man or woman comes into the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way to heaven. July 10th, 1979, growing up in church, but I didn't have a relationship with him. At a youth rally in Indiana, I was worried about what people would think. You know, hypocrite, because they all thought I was a Christian. I sang in the special youth musicals and did all the thing. We had youth prayer meetings sometimes. It was me and the youth pastors all that showed up. I was that kid. I was always there. So I had to get over that embarrassment of what will people think. Because, you know, when we die, and we're all going to one day, when we cross over and see God, it doesn't matter what people think. It matters what God thinks. And I knelt there that day and I said, Jesus, save me. Come into my life, take over. I repent of my sin. I like what John's used, the 180. In other words, you did a 180. You're going away from your sin and going to God. Let Jesus live through you. That's my message I take everywhere and I bring to you. Because I never assume, even in churches as great as your church, I never assume that everybody in here has a relationship with Christ. Do you? Have you ever come to that point where you said, Jesus, come into my life, take over? Because that's the only way to heaven. And are you living that abundant life? No matter if you're in the valley of your life, sometimes it's tough, but Jesus says, I'm the lily of the valley. He's still there. Or on the mountaintop. Good or bad, Jesus is still there. Think about it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for allowing me to be here at this great church. Thank you for your love for us. God, I thank you that you not only love us, that you like us, that you want to spend time with us. Right now, if somebody doesn't know you, show them the joy of your salvation right now. And those of us who know you, God, draw us closer to you. Help us as we go through life, making those little decisions. Let us always turn to you and say, God, help me make those little decisions the way you want me to make them. So that you can write the story of our life. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want to ask real quick, how many would say, Scott, I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm going to heaven. I remember when I put my faith in Christ. Put your hand up. I know that for sure. Awesome. Put them down. Is there anybody who might be here today and say, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I've never put my trust in Christ. Pray for me. I don't want to die without Jesus. Anyone like that? Put your hand up. Let me pray for you. Anyone like that? How many would say, Scott, I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. But even through the humor and the music, God's spoken to me this morning. And I want to live the abundant life. I want Jesus to be number one. I'd rather have him than anything else in this world. Pray for me that I'll have the guts and the courage as I walk out this building today to do that. Put him number one in everything I do. Pray for me. God's spoken to me. Put your hand up all over the building. Thank you. Let's stand for prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the joy of salvation. Right now, if somebody does not know you, save them. And those of us who know you, draw us closer to you. Help us show that abundant life to people outside of these four walls. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I do this in every event. This I do every night. I'm going to do it this morning. If you're not sure you're a Christian, nobody's looking. Right now, where you're standing, if you want to receive Christ, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. The prayer does not save you. It's your heart attitude. But if you're not sure you're a Christian, you want to put your faith in Christ, pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I need you. I know you died on the cross for me and rose again the third day for me. Please come into my heart. Come into my life. Give me eternal life. Give me a home in heaven. Give me abundant life on this earth. I repent of my sin right now. I put my trust in you. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. No one looking around. If you prayed that prayer this morning for the first time ever, maybe you're just making sure you're nailing it down. If you meant that from the bottom of your heart, angels are rejoicing in heaven right now because you are part of the family of God. I'm going to ask Sandy Joe to come up here and just play a little bit on the piano. And I'm going to, in just a moment, give the mic to the pastor, and he's going to close as he sees fit. But I always like to give just a short little invitation time in case somebody wants to step out and pray. Because, folks, listen, this altar up here, these steps are not a holy sacred place. It's just a place where you say, I mean business with God. And if God's speaking to you about something, if everything's totally right with you and Jesus, stay right where you are. Pray for those around you. But if something's not right with you and God, and you just want to take it to Him right now, you can do that. If you need to pray with somebody, come up here and somebody will meet you if you want to. Pray with you. But you come right now. The song says, all to Jesus I surrender. I surrender all.
As Sandra Jo plays, maybe you'd like to slip out and just pray, or right where you are, ask God to take all that you have, surrender it all to Him. Let Him have His way and let Him have His will. But certainly, if you want to come and receive Christ, we have folks here at the front that will minister to you, answer questions, pray with you this morning. This is your opportunity. If you'd look up at this time, as I had mentioned in the service, we took our church offering, and I told you if you're a visitor, you know, the church offering is really about maintaining the church and giving to God. But we do need to give a good love offering to Brother Scott for coming and ministering to us in song and in message and in humor. So I'd like you to be seated. I know that Brother Scott wants to talk to you about a couple things as our ushers are coming forward. So ushers, if you would, come on up, and you can just go ahead and you can just put that stuff right there on the front pew and empty out the plate so that you can do a special offering for Brother Scott and Donna. If you haven't met Donna, be sure and meet Donna. She's the kinder of the two. Scott can be mean. He can be mean. He looks jovial, especially that guy up there. He looks happy. But Dawn is the one who mellows it all out. All right.
Thank you. Let's have a quick prayer over this offering. Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for this love offering. I pray that you'll speak to people's hearts and they give as you direct. In Jesus' name, amen. This is called a love offering. First, I want to say thank you for this. A lot of churches love us a lot. Some like us a little. We hope you love us a lot. And as they're receiving this, thank you for allowing Donna and I to come and be with you guys. We're going to have lunch and then hit the road fairly quick because we have to be in Plainfield, New Hampshire tonight for a concert. And then we fly back tomorrow, so pray for us tomorrow. You don't have to pray for us, because somebody was saying the other day, when it's your time, you're going to go. I said, but what if it's the pilot's time, you know, because I'm going to go with him. And anyway, so pray for the pilot. I want to mention this. You saw that display in the back with all the stuff. My wife makes me sell this stuff because she likes living indoors and having the heat on and that kind of thing. So we have a new thing I'm going to tell you about. Since I was here last, we did a brand new comedy. This is a live comedy album. It's our regular show, if you want to call it that we do on Fridays and Saturdays tonight. There was about a little over 1,000 people at this event. And it only has one song at the end. It's an hour long of just humor. Good, clean, family humor. So if you want to get that, it's $10. It's a Sweet Life, because our events are called Sweet Life Dessert Comedy Theaters. And so that was recorded live. And then, as I told you, I went into the studio to do the one song, and I ended up doing 11 songs. Here it is. It's called All Joking Aside.